Cause it's so beautiful.
The makers of Epic Pure Sunflower Oil, Purine and Pret Cooking Fat, Yum Yum Peanut Butter, Maple Margarine, and Niblet's Cheese Twists present the Epic Casebook. In which Inspector Carr investigates.
Last weekend, we were visited by a one-time leading member of the South African police. He's been retired for some years now. Naturally, we chewed the nostalgic cud, and we talked about that strange, highly intelligent character known as Babyface. I say strange and highly intelligent because my friend and I agreed that had Babyface applied his obvious drive and ability to activities within the law, he'd have probably made very much more money than his fraudulent acts brought him. I refrain from mentioning his surname, since he's paid his debt to society, and for all we know may be leading a decent and honourable life somewhere in the Republic. In fact, the only reason for mentioning Babyface is that in my heyday as a policeman, there was a notorious young Londoner who was known to the Yard under the same sobriquet. Everyone, the police and the underworld alike, referred to him as Babyface. And no wonder. His peaches and cream complexion, his pale blue eyes set in a round, somewhat fleshy face, his fair, curly hair, gave him the sort of appearance that suggested that he would look like an innocent, sweet infant till the day he died, even if he lived to be 100. And yet, beneath that facade was a brain and a heart as ruthless and as cunning as I've ever come across. Oh, his face stood in good stead, all right. 5 times the police thought they'd got the goods on him, and 5 times old Babyface would gaze at the magistrate with an air of sweet injured innocence, and 5 times he left the court a free man. If you detect a note of bitterness in my voice, there isn't any. Babyface may have escaped the law, but he didn't the vengeance of the underworld. Let me tell you about it. I've called my story, Death is Misplaced. News of Babyface's death was transmitted to the murder squad one early spring morning. I'd barely had time to place my hat and coat on the rack when the telephone bell summoned me. Carr?
Operations here, Inspector.
Yes.
Constable, just come through, sir. Found a dead body in Lion Yard, off Sower Square, sir.
Well, not on this pleasant spring morning. I was hoping to get my paperwork up to date.
Great, sir. Body found by a police constable Brand, sir. Papers in the dead man's pocket identify him as Gilbert Cooper. Driving license shows that he lived at Barclay Court, Hill Street, Mayfair, sir.
Constable still with the body?
Yes, sir. We've notified Vine Street. They're sending a sergeant round, sir.
Well, how experienced is this constable? Is he sure the man is dead?
No question about it, sir. Says the man's been dead for some hours, strangled.
Morning, Carl. Oh, hello, I brought Mac. Those dockets for
well,
you.
Just hold on a minute, Ops. Hello, Mac. Mm-hmm. It looks as though you and I are paying a trip to Soho. Got Ops on the line. Man been found strangled.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. And I thought you and I could go with a Robson inquest. The material's all here. Still, there's no hurry for that.
I'm sorry to keep you, Ops. Senior police surgeon has just walked in. Look, tell the constable to stand by. We'll be over in a matter of minutes.
Very good, sir. Just a minute, sir.
What is it, Ops?
Gilbert Cooper, sir. Isn't that Babyface? You had something to do with him, didn't you, sir, before you joined the murder squad?
Did I? 3 years ago, and I haven't quite got over the humiliation of seeing that crook go scot-free. Yes, that was his name. Gilbert Cooper. Could be a coincidence. Somebody else with the same name. All right, Ops, arrange for transport to pick us up outside the west entrance.
Will do, sir.
Gilbert Cooper, eh? I wonder. Well, Mac, will you be accompanying me, or will you send someone else?
Yeah, it's a lovely morning. Be glad to get out of the office.
It was indeed as lovely a morning as London can be in the spring. A recent shower created a kind of sparkle in the air, and it was difficult to stifle the wish that my colleague and I were driving into the forest instead of investigating a Soho strangulation. By the time we'd arrived on the scene, Vine Street had been alerted to supply an additional police officer and a screen to hide the murder from the passers-by. Well, this used to be part of my beat a few years ago, Mac.
If the dead man is Babyface, what were you doing in Lion Yard? They're mostly warehouses, aren't they?
Mostly, but there are a couple of nightclubs with rear exits leading onto the yard.
Really?
Oh, well, here we are. Now, which of you is Constable Brand?
Hi, sir. Good morning, sir.
Morning, Constable.
Good morning, sir. Dr. McPherson.
Hey, that's right. Morning, Constable. Ah, yes, I remember. You boxed for the White Division, don't you?
That's right, sir.
Hmm. Well, let's just take a look at the body, shall we?
Just behind the screen, sir.
Baby face. Well, well, well.
So it is the baby face you were talking about.
It is indeed, Mac. Now, what's he doing in Lion Yard on a sunny Sunday morning?
It's fortunate it is Sunday, otherwise this place would be crowded with morbid onlookers by now.
These are the things I took out of his pockets, sir.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good. While the senior police surgeon is examining the body, let's take a look at Babyface's possessions. They consisted of a £121 notes, a gold cigarette lighter, driving license, small pocket diary, an expensive fountain pen and a bunch of keys, together with some loose change. All right, Constable, what's the story?
Well, sir, whilst in the execution of my duty, I was patrolling Soho Square and turned into the yard to make the usual check and saw what I thought was a drunk. You get plenty of those, sir, on a Sunday morning around
yes,
Soho.
Yes, Constable, I know. I take it you logged the time when you came across the body?
Yes, sir, exactly 7:22 this morning, sir.
I see, carry on. What exactly did you do? Did you move the body at all?
Yes, sir, you see,
You don't have to explain. You saw a huddled body, you thought he was drunk, so you went to shake him, wake him up.
Yes, sir, he was lying as he is now, with his head down. As soon as I lifted up his head and saw the colour of his lips and that wheel round his neck, I realised what had happened.
Yes, these are obviously keys of a motor car. Doesn't seem to be a vehicle in the yard.
You're right, Constable. This man has been dead for some hours. Rigor mortis has set in.
Bad luck on you, Constable. What time did you come off duty? 7:30?
Yes, sir.
Well, I should imagine you're ready for some shut-eye. I won't keep you very long. You can make out your report to your section officer later in the day. Is it still Hargreaves?
Yes, sir, that's right.
All right, I'll fix that. Now, it's a reasonable assumption that Babyface was coming out of either the Oak Leaf or the Gargoyle Club. Both have exits leading onto the yard. If that's the case, it's also a reasonable assumption that he used the rear entrance to get to his car. Could have come across somebody trying to steal it, got strangled for his pains.
How long have you been on patrol duty, Constable?
Since 0300 hours, sir.
Did it rain at all during the night?
No, sir. Just that shower about an hour ago.
Let's come and have a look at this car.
Wet pavement.
Hey, this man was dumped here. You see how the rest of the ground is dry in the sun after the slight shower, and yet underneath the body it's still wet.
Interesting. Very interesting. Means we can almost pinpoint the time when the body was dumped into the yard. It also explodes my theory that he was coming out of either the Gargoyle or the Oak Leaf clubs. Any indication of the murder weapon?
Aye, there is. Take a look at this throat. Now, if you notice, the deepest wheel or indentation is in front, and the wheel gets less as one examines the sides of his neck.
Yeah.
It's 100-1 that the killer attacked him from behind and quickly slipped the nylon over his head. A quick tug and what's more, Carr, whoever strangled this character, he must have been of a very powerful build. He'd need to be at least as tall as his victim, otherwise he'd never have got the nylon rope around his neck.
You seem convinced it was a nylon rope, Mac. Why?
Because I've been looking for indications through my magnifying glass as to the kind of rope used, but there's not the slightest indication. Now, the strangulation signs are not sufficiently deep and sharp for it to be something like the wire rope or even a tightly woven shoelace. No, I'm convinced it was a kind of material that's got no loose threads of any sort. But yet it was rounded as well as firm.
Well, that spells nylon, all right. We'll have to get hold of a meteorological report. Although I was on my way to the yard when it began to rain, that was about 7:15. Constable Brand.
Yes, sir?
There's no need for you to wait. You go and report off duty, Constable here will arrange for the removal of the body.
Very good, sir.
Although it was almost certain that the body of Babyface had been dumped in Lion Yard, nevertheless, the owners of both the Gargoyle and the Oak Leaf clubs were aroused from their beds.
No, Babyface Cooper wasn't at my club last night. In fact, he doesn't come to the Gargoyle these days. I haven't seen him in months.
Monsieur Cooper. No, he does not come to the club anymore.
Carl?
Operation 2, Inspector?
Yes.
Babyface Cooper, sir. His car has been found abandoned in Side Street off Maida Vale, sir.
Maida Vale, eh? Unhappily, that doesn't mean anything. Could have been murdered miles from there. What news of his movements?
Well, sir, they're still out questioning. Apparently, he hasn't been seen in any of the usual gaming joints, sir. Louis the Lip says that he had a row at the Archer Club. Accused the owner of cheating.
Well, that's something. That's worth following up. The Archer Club's owned by Danny Freeman. He wouldn't take that lying down. What does Babyface's servant say?
We sent Sergeant Blake around, sir. There's no answer. The house has been locked up.
Isn't there anyone there?
Apparently not, sir. Oh, the meteorological report's through, sir. Heavy rain for exactly 3 minutes this morning at 7:15. Hasn't rained before for about 24 hours, sir.
All right, Ops, thanks very much. Yes? Matt.
As I suspected, the hyoid bone is broken. Anyway, here's the official report. I can now give you a reasonably confident time of death. Between midnight and 1 o'clock this morning.
Thanks, Mac. If only we could find out where Babyface was between midnight and 1 o'clock this morning. Yeah. Had dozens of uniformed and plainclothes men on the job, yet no one seems to have seen him.
You think it's a gang killing?
It could be, Mac, but I doubt it. Babyface is a con man, professional gambler. There are very few murders committed as a result of that kind of activity. Mind you, he did accuse Danny Freeman of cheating. Perhaps I'd better go and have a word with him. He'll have known of the murder by now, even if he's in the clear. The Midday Edition ran a stop press story.
So, Babyface got it at last, did he? Well, I'm not pretending I'm sorry, because I'm not. Accusing me of cheating? Is that why you're here? Did one of your coppers now tell you I nearly strangled a swine?
That's a rather interesting statement you made, Danny. You nearly strangled the swine. That's how he was murdered. Says in the stop press he was found strangled.
Now, wait a minute. I didn't strangle...
I know you didn't personally, Danny, because I've been checking up on you. And you were here at the club until 4 o'clock this morning. And you're a long way from Lion Yard. But you could have got one of your tough boys to do the job for you.
Oh, come off it, Inspector. Okay, I've been a strong-arm boy in my time, but you know I'm clean. Okay, I run a spieler. But you know who my customers are. Bookies, jockeys, pros like Babyface. Do you think I'd be crazy?
Never mind that now. Babyface accused you of cheating. A statement like that could close the joint down once there's the faintest suspicion. How much did Babyface owe you, Danny?
Well, not a farthing. Oh, he paid all right. Then he said he wouldn't visit the Archer Club again because I used marked cards, a lying swine.
Hey, Danny, they've got him all right. It's in the paper.
The man who opened the door and shouted they'd got him all right was obviously referring to Babyface Cooper. Equally obvious was the fact that in his excitement, he failed to notice that there was another presence in the room.
What do you want, Joe? What are you getting all excited about?
Oh, I'm sorry, Danny. I didn't see your company. Don't expect people to be standing behind the door.
I was not standing behind the door. As it so happens, the door opened to conceal my presence, which is just as well. Otherwise, you would not have made that illuminating remark.
What's he getting at? What illuminating remark?
You'd better introduce me, Danny.
Yeah. This is Chief Inspector Carr of New Scotland Yard, and you and your big mouth...
But what did I say? All I said was they got him, like you said they would.
They got who? Oh, by the way, what's your name?
Joe. Joe Austin. No, I didn't mean anything by it.
Yeah, Joe runs the show in a shammy gun.
What did you mean when you burst in here and said they got him, all right? It's in the paper.
Well, he
please,
was
Danny. Well, Joe?
Can I tell him, Gov?
You might as well. You've done me enough damage already. Go on, tell the Inspector.
Well, don't stay in there gulping. Go on. Well, last night I was handing the shoe. Babyface was losing a couple of hundred quid. Well, he jumps up and says he wasn't going to play here anymore. That the cards was marked. I called the boss here a cheat. It's a wonder he wasn't done for then and then.
Go on.
Well, when he left, the governor said that one day he's going to get his desserts. Well, imagine how I felt. Governor saying that early this morning. There I buys the racing edition of the Standard, and it says he's been found strangled.
What did you see Danny as? A murderer or a prophet?
Well, Danny? A murderer? No, wait a minute. I didn't
Where
mean
were you
that...
between the hours of midnight and 2 o'clock this morning?
Yeah, well, I was here, wasn't I, Danny?
Look, I can't pretend to be shedding any tears over Babyface, but I didn't kill him, and nor did any of my mob.
How long has Babyface been playing at the Archer Club?
Well, he can't go back to the Oak Leaf to play now, can he?
Why not?
Well, after the way Condell Frenchy to buy it, sold him a right steamer there. I mean, who wants to play cards when you can't get a drink? The Oak Leaf lost its license after that guy was picked up there for pushing drugs. Old Babyface must have spent a lot of dough keeping it out of the papers.
I see. Interesting, very interesting. And the Gargoyle? Used to go there quite a lot.
Yeah, I don't think Babyface and the Yank have any love for each other either.
You heard anything lately, Danny? Anything big, anything that might cause the boys to commit murder?
No, Governor, I swear it. Babyface would shock his grandmother. He could charm the false teeth out of an old-age pensioner, but
but I've never known him mixed up with the strong-arm boys.
And Yank is?
No, I didn't say that. I wasn't thinking of the Yank. Why should he look for trouble? He's got the poshest clientele in London. I do know that he hated Babyface's guts and Babyface hated him.
I've already told one of your men that Babyface wasn't here last Saturday night. I didn't welcome his custom.
Why not? He was a heavy gambler. His money was as good as anyone else's.
Sure it was. He can roll the dice, play the cards. Have a go at the wheel as long as he liked. When he began to use the gargoyle for his cunning jobs, I began to lose business. In fact, Lord Hume would accuse me. Good evening, my lord. Your usual number of chips?
I'm looking for that fellow Cooper, a friend of yours. Telephoned his house, his office. Seems to be evading me. I take it he is coming here tonight.
Oh, I don't know, my lord. Is something wrong?
Yes, Mr. Crossley, there is something very much wrong. Last week he persuaded me to give him a check for £2,000. Bought a half share in a filly named Pretty Polly. Threw me down to Newbury to watch a gallop. I've since learned from the trainer that Cooper bought the nag for £100, knowing it was suffering from Fletcher's disease and knowing it would never race again. I suppose I should have insisted on a vet's report, but that man could talk the brass balls of a poor broker's shop.
Now, look, sir, you can't blame me.
I do blame you. £2,000 won't ruin me, but I expect the Gargoyle Club to be careful who they allow in as members. My solicitor tells me I've no proof of the things that this man Cooper told me, but if I see him, I shall thrash him within an inch of his life.
Well, I didn't want any trouble, so I went round to Babyface's house, gave him a piece of my mind, told him to stay away from the club.
Are you sure that you went yourself?
What do you mean by that?
Oh, come off it, Yank. Don't give me that holier-than-thou look. I know you're running the gargoyle up the level. It's too much of a money spinner for you not to. But where did you get the money to buy the gargoyle? That set you back a pretty penny.
That's my business.
And the Soho Street Traders Association was our business. Particularly when your boys started throwing bricks through shop windows if owners wouldn't join your so-called association. All right, Yank, you're not in the clear, not by a long way. I left the gargoyle wondering whether I'd handled such a shrewd, tough character as the Yank as well as I might have done. There was little that went on in the underworld that wasn't relayed to Dennis Crossley, alias the Yank. As I explained to my worthy colleague, Dr. McPherson. You know, Mac, I have a feeling that I'd have been wiser to have treated the Yank with kid gloves. I've now come to the conclusion that he didn't plot Babyface's death. But who did? Perhaps if I'd have put that question to the Yank, he might have cooperated, although I can't stand his guts. There's many a frightened immigrant who parted with his life savings because of the threats uttered by Yank's bullies.
What about the oak leaf?
Hmm?
And what you tell me, the Frenchman had a good reason for killing Babyface.
Now, look, Mac, look at these dockets. Reports from uniformed constables, plainclothes men, informers, waiters, porters. We know for a certain fact that the Frenchman was in his club at the exact time that Babyface was killed.
Mm-hmm.
We know that they were actually seated at the gaming table from 12 to 1. Besides, if there's one thing I do know, neither Andre Dubois nor the Yank were responsible for his death. But where was he? I suppose there's no question that he was killed between 12 and 1.
I'll stake my reputation on it.
Then arises the question, where was the dead body of Babyface between the time he was killed and the time he was dumped in the yard?
You answer that, you might get somewhere.
Carp.
Operations, you, Inspector.
Yes, Ops.
Babyface's servant's been traced to Grimsby, sir. She's a Mrs. Winifred Stubbs, age 62. Says that she was given the weekend off as her bus was going to Brighton, sir. She went to stay with her daughter and grandchildren. Mrs. Stubbs is well known to the Grimsby police, sir. Her brother used to be a sergeant of the force. Highly respectable family, sir. Mrs. Stubbs says she last saw Babyface at breakfast on Saturday morning.
Okay, Ops, thanks. I sent out a call to X Branch, inquired all the more expensive hotels in Brighton whether anyone answering Babyface's description stayed there on Saturday night. May have given a different name, but he may have booked in as Cooper.
Very good, sir.
You think he might have gone to Brighton?
Yes, Mac, I do. You still there, Ops?
Yes, sir.
Well, make this top priority. In point of fact, get through to my friend Inspector Cable. Tell him to check first with the Metropolitan. With a bit of luck, he may have booked in there under his own name.
Well, do, sir.
Yeah, right, now that's a thought, Garth. It would explain why the entire investigating force in the Metropolitan area could find no trace of the man. As though he had disappeared from the face of the earth until his body was found.
Precisely. And yet,
there's something still troubling him.
Yes, there is, Mac. No one but a fool would take the risk of driving from Brighton to London with a murdered man in the car unless it was absolutely necessary.
You mean, assuming Babyface was strangled in Brighton, why not throw his body into the sea or dump it over a cliff? Pretend it was an accident?
Precisely. There had to be a relationship between Lion Yard and the murder. To dump the body in broad daylight...
True enough, but after all, Lion Yard is a cul-de-sac. Cars are parked there, I agree, but there's no through traffic. One of the thugs could be acting as lookout at the entrance to the yard. It's all very...
Cop.
Operations here, Inspector.
Yes, Ops.
He stayed there all right, sir. Inspector Cable sends his compliments, sir. Babyface booked in under his own name at the Metropolitan, sir. Arrived at 10 a.m. Spent most of the day at Brighton Races. Hotel manager says Babyface dined alone at the hotel and then went to the Regent.
Oui, Monsieur Cooper, he come here. He win a few pounds and he leave.
What time did he leave, Mr. Dubois?
Oh, I think about 11 o'clock. He say he has to catch the last train, which is at 11:30.
That's very funny.
Why are you so funny?
Because he booked in at the Metropolitan Hotel. I've just seen the room. His suitcase is there. How did he arrive at the Regency, do you know?
I have no idea.
Where were you between the hours of 12 and 1 o'clock?
But why do you ask me such a question?
I ask you such a question because I want such a question answered. All right, Mr. Dubois, where were you?
At the club.
Were you? None of your tough guys are going to give you a fake alibi, Mr. Dubois. Not when murder is involved.
I know nothing about this man's murder.
Well, I think you do. Babyface arrives to attend the biggest race meeting on the Brighton calendar, decides to spend the night, calls at the Regency Club to gamble, and you recognize Babyface as the man who sold your brother a white elephant, a club that had lost its license. Babyface was a great one for buying deadbeats cheaply and selling them dear. Is that why you killed him?
I do not know what you are talking about.
You told a silly and stupid lie, quoting Babyface as saying that he wanted to catch the last train back to London. We know he arrived at the Metropolitan by car, and when the police came across his dead body, the car keys were still in his pocket. You killed him, drove the corpse back to London, dumped the body, and then ditched the car.
You can't prove any of this.
Oh, yes, I can. I can prove that you were away from Brighton until 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. I can prove that you were seen near Lion Yard, and I can prove that you were seen in the dead man's car before you ditched it. You're not a very good murderer, are you, Mr. Dubois?
I did not do this thing, I tell
you. Dear Dubois, I'm charging you with the murder of Gilbert Cooper and warn you that anything you now say will be taken down and used in evidence.
So, he's accusing this character, Nathan Forrester.
Well, they were both in it. Thanks to the smart work of the Brighton police, Dubois and Forrest were seen at the Brighton Central Station. They took a taxi, first to Dubois' home, then to Forrest's house. As for Forrest, stupid clot had the nylon rope in his pocket when the Brighton police searched him. That'll be Exhibit A.
Now, I see in your dossier where Dubois lied so foolishly. If he hadn't mentioned the fact that Babyface told him he was catching a last train, his brother would have been a much more likely suspect. Why were you so sure that neither the Yank nor André Dubois could have committed the murder?
Because neither of them would have been so foolish. Well, listeners, a simple piece of deduction for you this week. Why did I discount the possibility of either the Yank or André Dubois being implicated in the murder? I might as well tell you that it was the same reasoning which convinced me that the owner of the Oakleaf Club had no part in the killing. It would be so foolish as to strangle a man and then leave his dead body right outside their back door, so to speak. Particularly as we knew that Cooper was strangled at least 6 hours before the body was found. It was his brother's vanity that was the killer's undoing. He hadn't anticipated the arrival of Babyface at the Regency. It was Pierre who put up the money for his brother to buy the oak leaf. He, together with his strong-arm boy, decided to put Babyface out of the way forever. They might have got away with it if Pierre hadn't decided to send such a conceited message to his brother in the shape of the corpse. Both men paid the supreme penalty, although to this day no one knows who did the actual strangling.
The Epic Casebook was produced by Michael Silver for the makers of Epic Pure Sunflower Oil, Maple Margarine, Yum Yum Peanut Butter, and Niblet Cheese Twists, with Hugh Russ as Inspector Carr. Listen again next Thursday night at 9:30 to another exciting story from our Epic Casebook.